You're listening to the Modern Producer Podcast, expert talk on livestock housing and animal husbandry. Get ready for today's episode.
Hey guys, this is Tim Kurbis, your host for the Modern Producer Podcast. We're glad you've decided to join us for this episode. The conversation here today took place over in Holland while we were visiting the headquarters for NEDAP Livestock Management in the Netherlands. We'll be discussing new equipment that NEDAP has released, which greatly improves the feeding management capabilities in the farrowing ward. As we were discussing the farrowing feeder from NEDAP anyway, we decided to record the conversation so others could learn from it. We hope you enjoy the following podcast. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to send us an email or comment on our various social media platforms.
Welcome to the next edition of the Modern Producer Podcast. Today we're actually sitting in rainy Europe. I have today with me, seeing as I traveled over here with Jeff Morton from NEDAP, so he's also here sitting with us, and today we have Heel with NEDAP Livestock Management sitting with us. So today we're going to have a conversation about some of the products, or more specifically a product that NEDAP has developed for the hog industry, farrowing feeder, or electronic feeding for the farrowing. So I do appreciate the support that NEDAP has given us for the podcast, Heel, why don't you just give us a little bit of a background today of who you are, maybe pronounce your name better than I have, and tell us a bit about what you do here at NEDAP.
Yeah, so my name is Giel van Lente. I do product management within NEDAP Livestock Management, especially for the pig division. Work in NEDAP for 10 years already. Raised up at a barn, always has been interested in any kind of techniques used for in a barn, or used for cows or pigs. Studied mechanical engineering and did a master in agri technology in Wageningen University, and started in NEDAP 10 years ago, what I said. As product manager, responsible for the products services we deliver worldwide for the pig industry as NEDAP Livestock Management.
So as product manager, does that kind of mean that you're the head of development for any R&D stuff, or how does that work? Like with new products like the activator, like the farrowing feeding, what's your overall role in that sort of stuff?
It's not head of development. Product management will cover all developments or all products, all services we have for the pig industry, and that is that can be development, but also marketing all the products we have. It's more a global overall responsibility.
Sure. So given that we're talking about the farrowing feeding here specifically today, and I see, although nobody else can, I can see the activator sitting beside your chair right there. This is kind of a new product for the industry, and I know, Jeff, that you have seen some sales in the U.S. With the farrowing feeding without the activator. What is your take on how the market's going to be viewing this, or where are we going with this?
It seems to me, even over the course of the last year, that the direction toward farrowing feeding is already arrived. Most of the new barns being planned now, or at least in the conversation about looking at different farrowing feed applications. But I think, to put it briefly, I think that farrowing feeding is becoming more and more popular, especially in new projects being planned now.
Sure. How many farrowing feeders would NEDAP have out there right now?
We launched the farrowing feeding in 2014, 2015, I think. And globally, we have sold around 30,000 in total right now.
Sure.
And in the beginning of 2020, we will have the add-on, the activator,
sure,
available. And with the activator, we can also cover the U.S. market, where the demand for supporting ad libitum feeding is a big question, a big issue. So we hope we can sell a lot more in the coming future, and especially in the U.S.
Sure, sure. So tell us a little bit about, well, why farrowing feeding is helpful. I know you guys have done a lot of research in your own working barns around here, around this area, or the colleagues that you work with. What are the advantages that you really see from farrowing feeding?
Yeah, we've seen that the feed intake for the lactating sows is becoming an issue in commercial farming, because of more and more piglets are born, and the sow is getting trouble to produce enough milk. So the feed intake and the water intake is very important to produce enough milk for the piglets, and with native farrowing feeding, you have the ability to feed the sow during the whole day in small portions, also during night, so that the feed is always fresh and that we stimulate the feed intake for the sow.
Sure. So do you, I don't know how many barns you actually watch or how many sows you actually watch, what is the, what do you see as the average feed plan or the feed requirements, or how much feed do you feed a sow per day?
Depends a little on the weaning age or the days, mm-hmm. the weaning days. I will talk in kilos because that's in my head.
At least half half of the people listening will know that.
The cumulative intake should be around 150-160 kilos in 28 days. The average per day should be at least 6.5 kilo. And in the beginning, the first days, of course, the intake is not that much, but if you look at the average, it should be at least above 6.5 kilos per day.
Sure. So, given that they come out of the gestation area and their intake is perhaps in the 2 kilo range.
Yeah, 2 to 3 kilo.
2 to 3 kilos. Do people struggle a lot with getting them on feed? And actually, I know the answer to that. They do, but does feeding them with an electronic feeding, therefore being able to dose multiple times or give her feed whenever she wants in the farrowing, does that actually increase the time to get onto a higher volume of feed?
We have seen quite some sows that that with this system it's possible to feed them enough, and we have seen quite some sows that are even grow in farrowing. I know that's not good, but with this system, it's possible. So stimulating the feed intake with native farrowing feeding is really a big gain. It's just because you feed all over the day and in multiple portions,
sure,
small dosing amounts, etc.
So just with the farrowing feeding, have you seen enough in the NEDAP applications in the barns that have NEDAP farrowing feeding right now? What are the technical results that you're starting to see really? Is there a baseline? You say we start here without, it started at a certain point without farrowing feeding, and with farrowing feeding we get to a certain point. Is there an advantage?
Yeah, we have seen an average weaning weight of the piglets that has been increased with 750 grams.
That's
1.7 pounds.
Sure.
So that's the average weaning weight of the piglets is 1.7 pounds higher than compared with drug dosing.
So that's an average weight.
Yeah.
So overall, you're seeing weights higher than that, even in certain circumstances.
Yeah, we have seen some very heavy piglets. We have seen some piglets of 12 kilos after 28 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, Jeff, I know you work in some barns in the U.S. that have farrowing feeding. Are they seeing these kind of results? And maybe I'm putting you on the spot. I don't know if you know the specific answer to that. I guess maybe a clear question would be, is the customer pleased with his decision to put them in then?
Yes, for sure. We have one barn in Illinois who's been very satisfied. I've been in discussions with the farrowing manager there, and she's been quite happy with the results, and they're actually going to be adding the first part of next year, adding the activator to theirs. And they initially just put a certain number in a couple rooms to basically for in-house trial, I guess. And they've made the decision that they're going to go ahead and install in the entire facility and then add the activators.
Sure. Well,
I would assume is a positive result.
One would assume that if they're taking the next step, that yeah, they're.
It is, yeah. Sure. I don't have specifics on weights.
Sure, and then they may not be willing to share that. That's
correct.
Perfectly okay, too. Speaking of the activator, why don't you. We're not the only ones out there that have activation on farrowing feeding, let's be honest, but how does the NEDAP one specifically work? Like, what does the ability or the activator, the tech, and the mechanical components, what does that add to the system?
First of all, we see the activator as a next step, as an add-on to our farrowing feeding system. And with the activator, we are able to identify sows who are not active. So you can turn it around. For example, we dose a portion to tease a sow, and then we will wait for the sow to activate the trigger. In that way, if a sow will not stand up and will not activate the trigger, we know she is she's not eating and not drinking, so she's not active. So with that given fact, we generate attentions for the farrowing manager, so he can simply identify the sows who need attention.
So what would be the most common cause that a sow wouldn't get up and eat?
Oh yeah, that's a good question. It can be some illness after giving birth, or yeah.
Is it typically an illness, or is there other things that would say that the farrowing manager can actually have a responsive action to that? That's it's important to know, obviously. But is it a fairly common? And I don't work in a farrowing barn every day. Is it something that's a common occurrence enough that they need to know and can actually have some actionable response to it?
Yeah, I'm actually not a vet and not an expert in farrowing either. I know that a lot of barns are typically doing their 1 day or 2 day round and check every single sow and motivate each sow to stand up and to eat.
Sure.
And that's quite a lot of work. And with the NEDAP activator, you know upfront when you make a round which sow you need to check.
So
that saves a lot of time.
You have a list in your hand, whether it's a clipboard or a tablet or whatever. You have a list that says these X number of sows, like they say in many applications, the 20% that need 80% of your attention. You already know.
You know, obviously the attentions are important, and the ability to focus your attention on the cells that need your attention, the girls that are up and eating and everything is fine. Those really don't need a lot of attention. I know I've heard some reference that it would be nice to know those girls that are eating fine, if they're calling for extra feed, is that a response that we can also work with? Is that something coming for the future? So let's say a girl is just fine, she's eating fine, but she's active enough that she's saying, you know, I'm eating everything and I want more. Is that something that we would like to know as well? Is that something we can work with?
Yeah, that's something for, in my opinion, for the next phase. We in Europe, if you feed on the curve, we work the other way around. So we say, this is the feed amount a sow needs every day. And when she does not finish that feed amount, we will give an attention she did not eat enough.
Okay.
So that's the other way around. Next to the feed balance attention, we give the attention of non-active sows. So within that combination, you will have those sows who need individual attention.
Okay. But for the future, you'd be looking at perhaps both ends of the spectrum, those that aren't eating or aren't eating enough,
yep.
And those that are saying, I want more. And I mean, that could be some intelligence there or some action there that's possible that says, this particular animal, that's right, she has 16 piglets that she's nursing, she's a little bit above average, It would make sense that perhaps she wants to have something or more energy intake to actually be able to produce some milk for those piglets. I'm not sure if that's, again, I'm talking as a guy who doesn't actually work at a farrowing barn, so I don't actually know if that's a reasonable assumption, but that's an assumption I guess I make. If that would that be, you know, something that people would want to respond to?
Yeah, it is a reasonable assumption. At the same time, it's a little bit risky if you automatically put more feed in the trough for any sow who is asking for. You have to, it is possible that sows will overeat, and we have seen that quite a lot in some nice crafts. If you just feed a sow real ad lib, so just put feed in trough where they're asking for, that there is a risk to overfeed them, and that's a big risk.
And then all of a sudden, when you start adding these features, you get to the point where I'm assuming again that we're trying to create an automated system that requires a lot of human interaction. So all of a sudden, our automated system is only quasi automated because you have an automated system that could be filling a trough with feed that goes stale, that needs to be cleaned out, that all of a sudden the labor savings, the advantage of feeding this animal appropriately with fresh feed, all of a sudden it's gone because you're spending labor monitoring whether or not your automated system is actually working well. And then if a sow is either overeating or playing with things, she could be increasing labor rather than.
I think in our system we have the ultimate combination to be able to feed sow on our feed curve or to support ad libitum feeding.
Sure.
We still have the possibility to feed, let's say, several times per day, which supports ad lib, but still dividing the day in some periods where there is a maximum amount of feed, so she will not overeat or she will not play with the feed.
So not every barn has good cell phone service, not every barn has cell phones walking with the people through the barns, but I've seen enough of that, and I've seen a little bit about how people, even yesterday when we were talking with a producer, she pulled out her phone and she was able to actually change a specific sow as she was standing right in front of her. I know NEDAP's approach to this is let's get the buttons and the screen and all of the mechanical electronic components that are finicky, let's get them out of the room, let's get the maintenance out of the room. So do people use that fairly regularly? Do you see in all of the barns that you're working with that people will stand in front of a farrowing crate and pull out their phone or a tablet or whatever they have and just say, I want to change this particular animal and what she's getting?
It's really depending on the farmer. Here in Europe, you see highly educated farms owned by families, and they will strive for the best. They will strive for 99% feed amount to put as many feed possible in the sow. And they really look at the sow, they look at the trough, they look at the piglets, and with our system, it's really easy to adjust the feed amounts per single sow.
Sure.
To optimize every single feed intake.
So a lot of people that you see are actually using this and using it well.
Yeah, because it's so simple and so easy to use, and we are really supporting to use a smartphone or tablet because those devices are made for it. Those are easy to use.
Sure.
They have touch screens, they are fast to use. So our system will just support that heavily, 100% integration.
I think today it's become the expectation,
right?
Especially for the younger generation, younger than me.
It
really is the expectation.
You and I, Jeff, I'm starting to get there. I've seen you do it often enough where you take your phone and you zoom in on the screen. So.
Yeah. My screens need to get bigger and bigger as the years pass.
but they're set up in such a way, and I haven't worked with the farrowing feeding enough, and then a lot of barns, obviously, I can't walk through just with a phone in hand, but I'm assuming that the interface is such that it's actually easy to use and not problem. I have a problem. My hands dry out or whatever happens and my hands get dirty and it's touching a screen and things like that become, you know, inaccurate to say the least. Is it such that people don't have a problem or am I just a problem?
In essence, the system works completely automatically, and for the fine tuning, so the last few percentage, you can adjust or correct the feed amounts per single sow. But what we do, our software platform is just a web page, so you can use it in a smartphone or a tablet. The ones fit you. And especially for farrowing feeding, we developed one page where only the information is visible you need at the spot. So there's no overload of information, and it's really easy to use also with farmers' hands.
Sure. So I know I spoke about the potential for labor to increase if you guys overload the ability to change settings. All of a sudden you're creating circumstances where you're monitoring an automated system all the time. But one would assume we have a system here that's supposed to reduce labor. So what is the greatest reduction in labor? Where do people actually see that they're, you know, able to free up time?
I think what Heel spoke to a little bit earlier is probably one of the biggest ones, being able to see that report and those alerts on the sows that are not active and have not been eating, rather than having to go out and check every single crate one by one. They can give immediate attention to those that they're alerted on.
So you don't have to pay attention to the sow, that's just fine.
Correct.
Right. And on top of it, because we are waiting for a sow that he or she will activate the activator, we will not dose feed in the trough of the sows that are laying down.
Sure.
So that means workers do not have to clean or empty trough where the feed is clogging
going stale,
yeah.
Which happens quite well. Fast when you mix feed and water any kind of moisture and feed together.
Especially during the hot summers and when the humidity is very high. You see a lot of that. And with this system, the feed waste is reduced to zero.
A true zero? Like, well, obviously there's animals that get sick and they don't eat that little teaser portion or the part that's dropped just to stimulate their appetite. Is it that close to zero that the only wastage is those that don't get up and consume the tease portion?
Yeah, it's close to zero. Of course, you have the teeth portion. If they are still laying down, then the teeth portion is still dosed in the trough. But that's up to the number of feeding times. And yeah, one teaser portion is only 80 grams. So yeah. that's a very little amount to motivate the sow.
Okay. So what are, I mean, there's enough given that you started in 2014, 2015, and now recently in the last year or two added the activator. What are we seeing for return on investment? What are producers actually?
It seems that all told on average, what we find is about a year and a half for return on investment.
A year and a half?
Correct.
For total investment?
Correct. Based on labor savings and feed cost savings.
Sorry, if I sit back and say a year and a half, anything you can do in a year and a half and get your money back.
That's very encouraging. It's a very encouraging result.
Yes, of course. Sure. I mean, that's, yep. I mean, there's nobody to.
Yeah, and again, of course, it depends on the circumstances, and that's based on averages.
That's the average.
Yeah.
Does everybody see a return on investment? That might be putting you guys on the spot. I'm not sure, but I mean, so far, is there anybody that would say, "No, I'm just too good to actually make this better"?
Yeah, of course, if you have really a professional sow farmer who only owns 50 sows, that one you cannot beat properly.
Sure.
But what we see now in increasing farm sizes, working with employees, I'm sure every commercial farm with reasonable size, we will improve the results.
Because essentially, the farmer who owns the pigs, and if he's the one working with the pigs, like you say, if you have 50 pigs, and you're the guy who's invested and also looking at the pigs, of course you're going to spend a lot of time. So this is really, I mean, when you look at it, the larger you get, the more it makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, if you have workers on your farm and you have to hire a lot of employees, you need to count on them. You need to rely on them. And we have seen a lot of barns worldwide where the simple fact, if we can automate the feeding process only, that will already make such a huge influence on the farm results.
So does this, I'm just thinking through this here, especially on a large farm or any kind of farm with employees, does this remove the employee from the equation, or does this redirect the employee to what's important?
It's the second one. It's a different job. Yeah, maybe it's a different job. You have to look after the sows who need attention rather than running after all the sows and hopefully you find the one who needs attention.
So it's not removing the employees, it's making them efficient and productive at what they do. Because, yes, like you say, the girl who needs your attention, you don't have to go and search for her, you just go to her and deal with it.
Yeah, so you can spend your valuable minutes to the sows who need it and not the sows who does not need it.
Sure, so the sows who don't need your attention, they're just fine, they're getting enough feed, they're eating it, they're producing the milk, and of course they still have to do their, you know, health checks on the piglets and all sorts of processing work. But you don't have to have somebody going around the barn every day, who's eaten, who's not eaten, who hasn't eaten, you know, who's not getting up, or even spending time making sure every girl gets up then.
Yeah, actually.
So where are we going next then? Like, what's the next thought? Like, where's the need up? Somebody's cast a vision at some point about, so we're at this point now where we have a farrowing feeding, we have the activator where we can monitor social activity. I guess I'm just going to add a little bit here where in some of the stuff I've heard, it makes a lot of sense. With cows, we put the monitors on the cattle because, well, cattle are designed in such a fashion that monitors and sensors can stay on them, where pigs, not so much. So we... and pigs tend to eat things that are attached. So we tend to engineer the environment around the pigs to monitor social activity rather than putting the sensors on the pigs. But let's take this in a little bit of a forward direction. And so where are we going next with all the different options that NeedUp has?
Yeah, you can imagine that adding the activator to the lactating sows will put some extra data points in the whole sow life cycle. And that will help to predict any kind of, any kind of health issues maybe, or predicting things. At this moment, we don't know yet. But I'm sure that the activator data will tell something about the individual behavior of a sow.
So after a year or two of collecting millions of data points, we're going to say there is knowledge we can gain from the data itself.
Yeah, I'm sure there is knowledge in the data, and we can combine all those data points also together with sow weights and individual feed intakes during the whole cycle.
I heard you speak about this, I think yesterday or whenever it was, Kiel, it must have been the day before perhaps. With the weight monitoring, you collect a massive amount of data points in a day in a typical barn.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Was I right in hearing you say that there's roughly 250,000 data points just from weight monitoring in a given day?
Yeah, it's we call it raw data or unprocessed data. If you have a sow barn with 5,000 sows, we collect about 2.5 million weight points.
A day?
A day.
Oh, and 1-0 off.
Yeah, 1-0 off. Our algorithms are that smart. We can produce and we can produce validated weights for the sows. We will give those weights back to the to the farmer.
So are we anywhere close? I know we use these terms and we actually throw them around kind of loosely and inappropriately. Like, there is no such thing as AI so much as machine learning. AI, no machine thinks for itself. It's just, it responds no matter what you do, but it can learn from itself. It still responds to a given set of principles or programming or whatever. How are we actually using this now? We've got the weight monitoring where we're collecting massive amounts of data. We're going to get to the point now, especially with the activator, where we're even increasing that amount of data points. Is NeedUp working towards some responsiveness, or is it more putting out information for the farmer to respond to? Where are we going with that?
Of course, the ultimate goal is to feed the sows completely automatically. Unfortunately, we know now sows are not growing linear in gestation. So there are a lot of questions, unanswered questions from the nettings, from nutrition companies. And we need to combine forces or join forces to address that. And yeah, what I said also to genetic companies and nutrition companies, we can feed sows individual, we can weigh sows individual, but we cannot advise this is the amount of feed a sow needs.
Well, sure. You and I, neither you or I are nutritionists, neither you are a geneticist. So it's more, it becomes more collaborative then and how we work with this. And let's wrap it up, I guess. Appreciate the time, Kiel and Jeff. And thanks, everybody, for listening today.
These days, a lot of things don't make sense, like gluten-free non-GMO water or raising pigs, but not eating pork. But NeedUp has three solutions for your farm that make sense. From farrowing to finish, NeedUp ProSense collects real-time 24/7 data on weight, feed intake, and calculates feed conversion ratios for you. NeedUp SowSense minimizes feed waste, maximizes sow performance, and saves labor for improved ROI. NeedUp PorkSense automatically sorts finishing hogs by weight, saving you feed and ensuring consistent market weights turn after turn for improved profits. talk with your new standard representative today to see which NEDAP solutions make the most sense for your farm.